Good morning. Spent last weekend in Louisville. Took me a couple hours to get it, pronounce it right. You get off the plane in Louisville and, you know, they know you're important. But my wife and I were invited by some friends, 23 years. Tony, my friend from Philadelphia, invited me to his son's wedding. Tony was at the first table that I ever had as a table leader 23 years ago. And I saw him go from, as the scripture says, from darkness to light. I saw him come to faith in Jesus Christ. We've been friends ever since. And of course, when he said, "Would you come to my son's wedding?" we went, right? Found out I like horse racing. I had been to one other race in my life, and I forgot what a beautiful sport that is. Over at Churchill Downs, the horses are incredibly beautiful, and when they go by you, if you don't look at their feet, it looks like they're just sailing. And I think the athletic ability of those jockeys is remarkable. To be up there like that for 2 solid minutes, you got to be in shape. And lastly, the thing I thought about that makes it such an interesting sport is you get 2 minutes of incredible intensity and then 20 minutes of total relaxation, people drinking mint juleps, and a lady gave me her mint. I put it in my iced tea. You believe that? Okay. It's true. Okay. Sunday before the plane, we had a couple of hours to kill, so my wife and I asked the concierge, and she recommended the Speed Art Museum. I got over to the Speed Art Museum, and I found a book that I'm interested in by about Leonardo da Vinci, the painter of The Last Supper. And there's a very interesting commentary in here. You all know the painting, right? Did you know that the original was painted on the wall of a monastery in the 15th century? The whole wall? In the monastery, in the dining room, that is where he put this fresco. But it wasn't a fresco. He used some new media that didn't work. That's why it has to be restored about every 100 years. Somebody gets the commission to restore it. But in terms of the way he laid out the Last Supper, let me read you a quote from here. "Christ is set apart from the two groups of figures to either side of him. He's in the middle. And on each side, there's two groups of the disciples." And he, the commentator, the art historian, comments, "He is the only one who remains calm amidst the agitation of the apostles." Of course, as we know from our study here, they are afraid, right? They're fearful. Jesus is telling them that he is going to leave them. Now let's pick up on this morning, okay? In the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. Let's pick up on this. The upper room discourse, the Last Supper. I was buying the book, and the young woman at the museum. I got chatting with her, and she's an art history major. Now they've got her running the cash register, you know. I said, "Now, have you ever read about the Last Supper?" She says, "Oh, no, I've never read the Bible." I said, "My girlfriend tells me, though, that's something I ought to do." I said, "Well, I would think so. If most of Western art is based on the Christian message, you would think that you would read the Bible." She says, "I think I'm going to do that." So who knows, right? Let's pick up on John 14, verse 15 today. Now, let me just say, Jesus is still responding to what Philip had asked him. You remember a couple of weeks ago? "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Show us the Father, that'll be enough for us. Okay? So he picks up today on verse 15. He says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." If you love me, you will obey what I command. Now, here's my comment on that. Men, for the next couple of weeks here at On the Border, we shall be looking at some very powerful teaching from the Lord. And He's going to be talking about things we need to know about. He's going to be talking about how to overcome fear, how to find comfort in the face of trials, and how to find that elusive sense of peace, the peace factor. How do you get that peace factor in your life? But this morning, He sets the stage for all of these gifts, and I call them gifts. They come from God. They come, the lack of fear, the comfort in the face of trials, the peace in your life. They come to the man who obeys Him, who makes God's agenda his own. If you love me, you will do what I tell you to do. Now, yes, we have fears and concerns, right? And as we explained last week, we bring them to Him and He says, you can ask me for anything and I will do it, anything. But He's saying here this morning as we kick off this little piece of scripture, first make sure that I am your biggest concern. Do you get it? That's where He's starting here today. And He says to us this morning, and here is my promise to you. And He's saying this to the apostles, because we adhere to apostolic ministry, He is saying that to us. It's a ministry of faith in God and His Word. He is saying, and I will ask, here's the promise, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Consoler to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. The word there in the original manuscript is the word parakletos, paraclete. Okay? He is going to be your advocate. He will plead your case. He will help you with your difficulties. I'm leaving, men, but He will be with you forever. What He's saying to these men is, men, I have not been training you for a, this is not college. You're not going to stay here very much longer. You're going to have to go out. A little audible at the line of scrimmage. I've had the privilege of seeing two boys of mine go through college. And to me, it's the most hilarious thing to see this transition that takes place. At about first 2 years, they think they're in a theme park. You know what I'm saying? They're just wandering around. And this, my oldest son thought he died and went to heaven. We had him cooped up in this little private Christian school for 4 years. He graduated with like 15 kids. He goes over to the College of Charleston, gets rushed by the big kahuna fraternity, and first weekend he's home, he's got this big gash over his head. I just thought it was real funny the way he got started off. About 2 years into this thing, they start to get the idea, I'm not going to be able to stay here forever. I got to go out and get a job. It was really interesting. You could see it on the grades. You could see it on their face. And I think this is the kind of thing that Jesus is saying here. I'm not training you men to stay here forever. You're going to have to go out. But when you go out, you're going to need a teacher and a master like me. You're going to need a friend. You're going to need a comforter. Just like me, he's saying. If you want to get real technical in the Greek here, the word used, and I don't want to get too technical about it, but it says another comforter. That word another means just like me. Not heterogeneous, but homogeneous, okay? And a friend and a comforter just like me. He is the Spirit of Truth. What a wonderful name. I've just been thinking about that all week. What a wonderful name. The Spirit of Truth. One of the leaders here called me this week He went out of his way to tell me this story and told me how he was tempted to withhold a piece of information from a colleague of his that was very important feedback, but he was fearful of hurting his feelings, which is a good caution, right? We just don't want to be telling people things and hurt their feelings unnecessarily. But he said, we sat in the car together, and he said the Spirit of Truth kept prompting him, tell him the truth, tell him the truth. And when he did, he told me it was like a cloud came right off the whole relationship. Men, can you imagine this? Imagine a friend who never lies to you, the Spirit of Truth, never manipulates you. We all manipulate a little bit, don't we? My little 13-year-old manipulates me all the time. Dad, I need to have more friends. I know you don't like me to just have one or two friends, so I need to go over to Jack's house tonight. I wish he'd just say, Dad, I want to go over to Jack's house tonight. He and I have got to have a talk about this, okay? Imagine a friend who never lies to you, never manipulates you, is always on your side. He's your advocate. That is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. Okay, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Now that's a mouthful, isn't it? Let's just pick it apart here. We got three more minutes and then we'll be out of here, okay? First of all, the point is he doesn't operate the way this world does. It's 180 degrees out, okay? He's invisible, first of all. We can't see him with our eyes. He's invisible. Remember we did that series on His Majesty's Secret Service? It's secret. He works secretly, invisibly. And the world doesn't know him. Another classic example, a man forced, faced with a bad career situation. Should he tell his wife? This guy sat in my office this week and told me this. Should he tell his wife? Well, sure enough, he knew the consequences. He did, and what did she do? She cried, right? That's what happens. She cried. But he said to me later, she said to me, I really appreciate you telling me the truth. See, men, when we start to operate this way, we are going in the opposite direction from the lying and cover-up that we live around all the time. And he's saying here to them this morning in verse 17b, and he's saying to us, and you men, see, he's saying here, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. You will have the privilege of knowing him right in your midst. Last week on the way out, one of our faithful, we don't really have memberships here, but a guy that's been coming for a long time, on the way out, he said to me, if I were stranded on a desert island, these are the men at my table are the men that I would want to be with. Man, that's the ministry of God's Holy Spirit. Working in our lives, Jesus says he will be with you and in you. What a promise Jesus is giving to these men and to us this morning. Verse 18, and we'll quit there. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. But as we conclude this morning, let me just say again, this will all be done on my terms. If you love me, you will do what I command you. The challenge today, for each of us, let's pray to learn how to work with God's Holy Spirit in our lives. The Spirit of Truth, each one of us. Let's learn how to be sensitive to His promptings when He starts talking to us. Okay? Let's have prayer together this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you for sending another comforter just like you, the Spirit of Truth. And I pray that practically speaking, each of us would learn how to be more truthful, as simply as that, to learn how to talk straight, and to learn how to get it straight from you, from your word, written by your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Empower us. Control us. Thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, have a good time at your tables this morning.